Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome in Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Danny, how was your weekend? What a big sports day we've got on the docket.
The Washington Capitals will do the hockey. The Washington Capitals will do the hockey. It's not a drill. When John Walton screams, and the puck drops, it's for realsies. Not just bathroom mirror time where John Walton's practicing being John Walton. It's for real. You know, the normal August hockey. Just a regular run-of-the-mill August hockey match between the Washington Capitals and our opponents. I love it.
Weekend good?
It's all right, man. It's all right. It's all the same. We're just trying to find stuff to do. I will tell you this. I got together with some buddies on Saturday night. We went to a friend's house. There was four of us. We haven't really seen each other at all. Everybody stayed, you know, far apart, as you're supposed to do. It wasn't a mass gathering. But I had four beers in one night. I'm going to say that again because you probably didn't process this. Four beers in one night. I was intoxicated and then hungover on Sunday.
Very junky summer dress party of you, Danny. Normally, yeah, August, four. You get one of those, so you'll use it on this, I guess, rather
four
than
beers.
The summer dress party.
So many.
Today, we've got 21 games that are going to be played in sports, in the major sports that are back right now. So here's what you're looking at. Six NBA games, including the Wizards, by the way, who tip off at 4 o'clock against the Pacers. Nine games in Major League Baseball. Now, the Nationals are not playing because they had a scheduled day off. So this is day four in a row, sans a Nats game as part of their in-season hiatus. Where, you know, you play for a week and then you get basically a week off if you're the Nationals.
You should probably rest.
And then in the NHL, we've got six games, and you've mentioned this, the Capitals back in action for their round robin play against the Lightning. So the way this works is there's two things going on right now in the NHL. There's a qualifying round, which is an actual playoff series of five games where teams like at noon today, the Rangers and the Hurricanes are playing in a best of five. First team to win three times moves along, and they advance. In the round robin series, which is what the Caps are playing, you've got the four best teams in each of the two conferences, and the best of the teams in hockey are just competing for seeding in the playoffs against the teams that have to advance by winning, teams like, you know, the Penguins, who are playing the Canadiens in the second game of their qualifying round tonight. Go Montreal. But that's where we're at. So there are six hockey games, nine baseball games, six basketball games, a total of 21 contests today. This is now the benefits that you reap from all of those days and those nights where you were binging some random Amazon Prime show because there was nothing to do. Well, now you've just got an over-inundation of sports activity on days like today. And it's March Madness tournament style. It goes all day long. It's staggered on TV, really start to finish. So we are reaping the benefits now, Danny.
Oh, you're not entertained? Is this not why you are here? Listen, here's what this whole thing has taught me. Sports-wise. And I'm talking about the months with nothing and the months of doing daily baseball labor strife updates and the months of how many cases before you shut the league down. All the months of non-sport discussion, right? Where we talked about all the time was shutting things down and, you know, you basically had to watch a movie every night for homework, okay? Here's what this taught me. You never, ever, ever take any of these games for granted. You never do it. You never, ever do it. You never go, well, we already know who's going to win. It's going to be the Golden State Warriors in the finals against LeBron's team. I better watch to find out. I better damn sure make sure that my eyeballs are glued to that television in case I miss it. In case I miss the incredible 1/1,000,000th of 1% of the highest level athletes on the planet doing what they do best. I missed it so badly, I had no idea how much I was taking it for granted. Never again. That's what this pandemic has taught me.
Today's a big day, Danny. I will be making my debut as like the guy you see on CNN who talks in front of a bookshelf. I've never been bookshelf guy before today, but I've got my little camera stand set up, which just means a iPhone from many years ago, I think, like turned sideways, clipped onto a stand, and I'll be either FaceTimed or using an app. I'll be on NBC Sports Washington. So I'm set up in front of a bookshelf with a couple of posters and things hanging behind me, trying to make it look a little bit more like a, I don't even know what vibe I'm going for. It's not an office. It's kind of like a sports den, if you will. But I'm bookshelf guy for the first time. So it's interesting because I'm in my basement, and I think I'm going to be wearing a dress shirt and a sports jacket.
Yeah.
Sit in front of, like, a bunch of Capitals memorabilia and gear, which feels a little bit odd because that just means I'm going to sit then and watch the game in a sports jacket in my basement.
I think that's awesome.
But really cool because I'm thrilled to be a part of this. I'll be on pregame if you guys turn on NBC Sports Washington today at 3 o'clock. Alan May, Brent Johnson, Rob Carlin, myself, Jordan Giorgio got you for an hour, and then eventually the telecast of the game. But bookshelf guy, man, and
bookshelf
how you watch
guy.
TV is a little bit different. Like, there was a time, I think, subconsciously or otherwise, where you guys, as you're listening to this, you know, you would see maybe an interview and you could tell, like, oh, that quality is a little different. Maybe this person's, like, on Skype for some weird reason. And that's just become the norm now, where people, I don't even know if it's something that they think about. It's just a person in their base being bookshelf guy. So I get to be bookshelf guy today.
This, you're being modest about how big a deal it is to be bookshelf guy. Like, it's basically now to the point where this is what professors get, where it's like we go now to, you know, Yale University medical epidemiologist guy, and he's like got really impressive medical books behind him, right? We go now to political analyst and like Lifetime Insider, this dude or this lady, and she's got like cool books. You're now a bookshelf guy. Like, that's an honor. That's a big upgrade. That's
Look,
a huge deal.
It's a big honor, and I take it very seriously. I don't take it lightly. I think it was more of a distinction, what you're referring to, where you've got to, like, have a PhD or be someone who can solve a problem and be, like, an adult in the room type. What I'm trying to tell you is that was pre-pandemic. I think they have now opened the floodgates where almost anyone can be bookshelf guy. There's so many more bookshelf guys now than there were 5 months ago.
Doesn't mean it's not an honor.
It's an honor for sure. I mean, I'm giddy. I'm thrilled. I'm elated. This is very, very cool. I'm not driving to Bethesda. I'm not getting kicked off of the staff. I'm, you know, there's three bookshelf guys today, or four. Jordan Giorgio's a bookshelf guy. She's actually like a gourmet kitchen guy. I think her background is just going to be her kitchen, not a bookshelf. But yeah, I mean, I'm in the club, so that's cool. I would just hedge a little bit when you start to say that I'm the same as the guy that's going to warn us about the hurricane. Because he read 14 books about warning us about the hurricane, because that was before the pandemic.
I think that's fair, but let me counter with this. Did anyone accuse me of coming up big in the World Series? Did anyone, like, you know what was really important was when Danny went oppo off Garrett Cole up under the train tracks, or in the top of the ninth when he singled the center field to score two to make it 6-2 to really deflate the Astros. Nobody accused me of that, but that World Series ring is on my finger. You see what I mean? That's my analogy for this. This is the equivalent of that. They've opened it up. I'm not saying you've got a PhD, but you're being treated as if you do. You're a bookshelf guy, man.
It's very
bookshelf
important.
Bookshelf guy.
It's a good point. I thought maybe, though, there'd be a way I could kind of tip my cap to our listening audience by putting something behind me that they might notice. Something that, you know, means in the same way that, like, you tell someone, I'll wink and it's for you. So if you've got an idea of something I should put behind me on my bookshelf, Right now, it's just a bunch of bobbleheads and pucks and signs and different things. Let me know. But it can be a little Grant and Danny nod for our listeners who are checking out the pregame show on NBC Sports Washington today. What should be behind me as I make my debut as bookshelf guy? Big, big day in the household here at the Paulson residence. A couple of things that happened over the weekend. We can give out a gold, silver, and a bronze from some of the really cool accomplishments, the games that were played, and some of what we watched. Also, there's news out of the NFL. They want to change the date that they have set with players to decide whether or not they're going to participate in the season. Understandably, players are furious because they think that the league is trying to okey-doke them, put extra pressure on them. They're saying that the NFL is getting more players opting out than they expected. But the league, I think, actually has some really good reasoning as to why they want to change the rules, because they're seeing that there is a loophole that players are taking advantage of. So we'll get into that at the bottom of the hour. You are listening to GND on The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and thanks much for making the show part of your day. Remember that you can listen a bunch of different ways. We know a lot of you are streaming the show via radio.com on an app now. If you're on the computer, thefandc.com/listen to get to that radio.com ability. But it always means a lot. We always appreciate it. Big weekend in sports. So let's start our Monday show by giving out the medals. We'll go bronze, silver, and gold to some of what happened. Real quick, because I don't think this guy's going to win a medal from either of us, I do want to just say that one of the coolest things that happened this weekend, non-medal winner division, would have been Nazem Kadri, who I don't normally like, but he's a center with the Colorado Avalanche. He scored a power play goal with literally 0.1 seconds left in the third period to break a tie, which gave Colorado a 2-1 win over the St. Louis Blues in the round-robin game they were playing yesterday. So he's not getting a medal, I don't think, but that was one of the coolest things I saw. Not pictured, Justin Thomas won the WGC FedEx St. Jude Invitational. First three-time winner on tour this season. Moved to number one in the world. Pretty big accomplishment, I'm going to imagine. He's not getting a medal for either of us. Just some of the not pictured members of our medal winners. All right, Danny, give me your bronze medal winner to start us off.
The Houston Rockets, my friend, they beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Five starters in double figures, led by Russell Westbrook's 31. James Harden only took 14 shots, which for a normal human is normal, but for James Harden, who's led the universe in scoring for a million years, that's a really, really low number. They turned the ball over as a team only 9 times, the number of times Ferris Bueller was absent in a semester, you recall. Really impressive win over the NBA's best team, the Houston Rockets. Don't start anybody big, but they could be a problem for some teams, A, if they knock down threes, B, if they get to the foul line, which they did, and C, they take care of the basketball. They could beat anybody, and they proved it there yesterday.
Yeah, the Bucks, 177-1 now. First team in NBA history to lose a game in which they scored 110 points, held their opponent under 40% shooting, and had a plus-25 rebound differential. They were plus-29, according to the Elias Sports Bureau.
Wow.
177-0 teams before they lost that game 120-116 to the Rockets. So I dig that one because I don't know how it happened, really, from a statistical standpoint. Until yesterday, it was viewed as a impossibility. I'll go NBA as well for my first medal. I'm going to give my bronze to 26-year-old T.J. Warren of the Indiana Pacers, who played his college ball at NC State and who averages game in and game out in the NBA this season, about 19 points per. He scored 53 in a game in the bubble and became, I saw this via Axios today, just the sixth player who was not an all-star to score 50 points in a game this season, the most in NBA history. So I don't know what that means about basketball other than it's getting easier to score, but it's never happened before that many guys in a season score 50 points that were not all-stars, and you can add T.J. Warren to that list, but he poured in 53 for the Pacers. He gets my bronze medal.
That guy can get buckets. He's always been able to score and has always been an overlooked player, and without Sabonis on that roster, he's going to have to do some of that, do some heavy lifting. Really good player. My silver medal, I had a tongue-in-cheek answer that was Cespedes quitting on the Mets, basically not telling anybody. That, of course, is a joke. I will go Tigers reliever Tyler Alexander. Why am I going a Detroit Tigers reliever Tyler Alexander, you ask? He has faced nine batters. He struck out nine batters. 9 for 9. He's basically doing a left-handed version of what Max Scherzer does when he's locked in carrying sheep around, tying the American League record for consecutive strikeouts in a 4-3 loss to Cincinnati in the first game of a doubleheader. Just came out slinging yuck. Just a bucket of filth. So Tyler Alexander faced nine guys, struck out nine guys. Pretty amazing.
Sexy. I'm going to go Juan Soto with my silver medal because he's going to be able to play baseball again, believe it or not. We found out over the weekend that he was with his Nationals teammates again. He was participating in whatever it is that they were doing. I don't know if you call that scrimmaging or simulating games or what have you, but I saw a picture where he was with Trey Turner on a baseball field, yucking it up, doing shtick, and they were both giggling and laughing, and Juan Soto looked like a happy-go-lucky guy again. So Juan Soto gets my silver medal. He is out of being held hostage or whatever was going on with him. He thinks he had a false positive. I don't know about that. What I do know is he's passed nothing but one test after another, every test he's taken for well over a week, and he was allowed, according to baseball, to play days ago, and D.C. basically held him to the same standard they would hold someone who works at our office at 1015 Half Street to, rather than kind of a letting him come back earlier with all the tests he passed based on the waiver that we thought was signed with baseball. That was how it was supposed to go. Very, very frustrating. Very, very annoying. So Juan Soto gets the silver medal, which brings us to the gold medal, and I'm assuming that both of us will have the same gold medal, and that is the robot sent from another planet to play baseball and hit home runs. Aaron Judge yesterday hitting not one but two homers. He's gone deep in five straight games. He's got six homers in those five games. The first Yankee in 13 years since A-Rod back in 2007 to go deep in five consecutive games. And he's not just hitting home runs, by the way,
no.
Danny. I mean, he is annihilating the golf balls that are supposedly called baseballs right now that they're using in the sport. Why is anyone pitching to this guy? It's unbelievable what Judge is doing.
Well, because their lineup is absurd. DJ LeMahieu is hitting 400. Giancarlo Stanton is hitting over 300. He's killing the ball, too. That lineup is ridiculous. That's just going to wear pitchers out one after the other after the other after the other. It's as good a lineup as I've seen in the sport in a long time. Just to put it in perspective, Aaron Judge is on pace for 45 homers, a great total for 162 games, let alone 60 games. He's on pace for 45 jacks, six homers through eight games. Astounding what's happening right now. And his homers, as you touched on, these are not wall scrapers. These are not Palmeiro specials where if the fence is 360, he's hitting at 362 and it, you know, lands and bounces straight up. These are seat denters mile and a half down the road. I mean, his should count for a buck and a half, pretty much, at the way that he's crushing them at this point. As you touched on, he's so massive, so strong, and it's just a quick little flick of the wrist to make himself some contact, and he drives the ball like few people that have ever played this game.
He is massive. I mean, just looking at him, he is unlike any other player in terms of just body profile,
yeah.
You know, the long levered limbs that he's got. Like, you think about Giancarlo Stanton, who's also in that Yankees lineup. Mm-hmm. Giancarlo Stanton was recruited to be a wide receiver at USC, was a second-round pick out of high school as a baseball player. Pretty sure he hit like 39 home runs immediately in Double-A, and you knew he was well on his way to becoming the next great slugger in the sport. And I remember talking to Giancarlo years and years ago when he was in the minors about the home runs he was hitting, and it was important to him to become like the first amazing home run hitter who had played his entire career in steroid testing times. And he's become that guy when he's been healthy, and he's doing crazy things for the Yankees right now too. But Aaron Judge just
looks different.
He just looks like he was designed in a laboratory. This is how it sounded last night on WFAN when he hit his second homer of the game, his sixth in 5 days.
Barnes to Judge. Curveball. Fly ball. Deep left field. Way back there. Aaron Judge. Adios, amigo. Oh, is he hot? His second home run of the night. Aaron Judge is guilty of putting the Yankees into the lead with his second home run of the night, a bomb into the night. It is 9-7 New York.
Forget how awful that pun was for a second.
Threw up a little bit.
And how cringeworthy and disgusting it was to hear that he was guilty of giving the Yankees the lead. Because that shouldn't have been said. We all agree. What on earth is going on, man? I mean, they've won six in a row, and the dude's just homering every time you turn around. By the way, the Orioles are having this ridiculous eight-game stretch. They just swept the Rays. They've won three in a row. They're 5-3. If the season ended today, they'd be, like, hosting a wild card game. The whole thing is very, very wacky, right?
Yeah.
The Yankees have only lost once. It was the Eric Fetty game against the Nats where they got pounded. They've outscored their opponents by 14. They're 7-1. We wondered, is 60 games enough to find out that the really good teams are actually really good? Well, seven games have been enough to find that out with the Yankees. I mean, they're just crushing teams.
The whole lineup hasn't even gotten going yet. So, like, half their guys, like Gary Sanchez, is hitting 0-something. I think Brett Gardner has one hit. I mean, their lineup is stupid. It's insulting. And then you added Garrett Cole to that mix, to their bullpen. They got a little bit of a blow with Tommy Canley going on the disabled list. Looks like he needs surgery. That was a late-inning weapon for them. But they're loaded, man. They look like, to me, the class of the American League.
Well, I don't know how anyone could argue with that. I mean, the Astros, who were their top adversary in that regard, went into yesterday 500 at 4-4. G&D on 106.7 The Fan. Next, the NFL has a little bit of an issue. You can add it to the pile, I suppose. They want to change the date by which players have to decide if they're opting out, and players are mad about that, and we'll tell you why each side might have a case. You're listening to The Fan. Add this to the list, Danny. We got to get to this at some point, probably earlier than later today. The XFL, which got shut down, doors closed via COVID, as much as anything else. I mean, it wasn't like it was humming right along. Who knows how long it would have lasted. But there were some very positive signs. There were some things that were working for it, clearly. And we've discussed on the show, you know, what needed to happen for it to continue to have worked and to have thrived. But Vince McMahon ended up saying, I'm good on this, I'm done, and basically, without warning a lot of people, just absolutely decided on his own to shut everything down.
What was so key about it, though, and we said this at the time, and neither of us are bankruptcy attorneys, despite how we present ourselves on the radio, as you know. Like, we know finance and we know the law very well.
Much,
you and me,
yeah.
Both. Yes, absolutely. Dar and Tommy, the same. But there were all these clues that it wasn't dead forever. This wasn't a shutting down. They declared bankruptcy. They basically said, if anybody wants to buy in, and there was talk of Vince McMahon, you know, rebuying, using some more of his capital otherwise. So there were these little signs that said this is more on hold than it is a forever kind of thing. And so somebody who would come in with motivation and capital could salvage this thing at probably the right asking price that's never going to be lower during the time of a pandemic where you can't possibly field operations for a while. So if somebody's got a spare $15 million, which I know I don't at the moment, but if you had a spare $15 million where you don't need a return for a while, somebody could swoop in and do this. That would love this thing. Enter The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson, part of a group that has bought the XFL, and reportedly he'll have an active role in helping to run the league, which is awesome news. I mean, this is a beloved figure. This is a guy that pretty much everything he touches right now turns to gold. Now, this will be his biggest mission and his biggest task, because spring football leagues that aren't the NFL, football leagues in general that aren't the NFL, just have not worked recently or over the years in any way, and certainly not in the last decade or so, one after another, having disbanded. But something we can get into, because we said, well, if the right person buys it and if they have the right vision, we don't yet know what the vision is, but The Rock's got a lot of money and some time on his hands without the ability right now to film anything. And he's decided to fill some of that time and to spend some of that money on the XFL, which is pretty amazing. I just have my fingers crossed that, you know, the DC Defenders, or, you know, if they're called something else in the next iteration, I hope DC gets a team. It was a pretty raucous atmosphere. It was a lot of fun. People seemed to really enjoy it. They should absolutely be in St. Louis, where they were selling 30,000 seats, and they're opening up the upstairs portion of the Edward Jones Dome, or whatever it's called now in St. Louis, mm-hmm. for the last game they were going to play before they didn't get to play it. Seattle, they were selling tens of thousands of seats as well. That should definitely be a team in that league. So we'll see what becomes of it and if they can get it back off the ground. But pretty cool story, and we'll give you more details as they trickle out today. But speaking of football, this came out last night. So the NFL and the Players Association agreed on a date by which players had to tell the league that they were opting out. You know, you have until fill in the blank date to make your decision. And the NFL now wants to change that date and move it up. And players are furious. And when I first heard this, I was kind of with the players where I thought, well, yeah, you can't change that date. I mean, guys need time to make this decision. You're obviously doing this to try to pull one over on them because more guys are opting out than you thought. I mean, here's a quote from Devin McCourty of the New England Patriots. He said, it's an absolute joke that the NFL is changing the opt-out period. They're doing it mainly because they don't want to continue to see guys opt out. I'm sure they're shocked at how many guys have opted out, but it's the same thing when we sign the CBA. Sometimes some of the other things that we think are good sometimes backfire. You know, we have rookies who are locked into long-term contracts and tagged. You guys don't think we would love to change that about the CBA, but we can't. That's the point of signing an agreement. So I think it's terrible. I think it's BS that the league wants to change the date. And he's not the only player saying something like that. But the team side of this, as they've kind of gotten out there now, is this. You're having a lot of players opt out who would not make rosters, who are getting paid the $150,000 stipend from the players union. So what's happening, and not to necessarily out like Caleb Brantley, who did this in Washington, but I'll just use him as an example because I know of his roster situation. You and I were looking at the names last week, and we even said there are more like undrafted free agent roster hopeful randoms than we would have expected.
Yeah, we're like, why is that? I don't get it.
Well, yeah, like, why would a guy who's like the eighth or ninth wide receiver trying to make the Cowboys opt out? Well, the reason is, based on what the teams are saying,
and that's
is that the loophole is.
That's the point of it.
They now get $150,000 when they do that. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting this six-figure contract where if they didn't make the team, they wouldn't be making that money. You know, if you're not on the practice squad, you're not making that cash. And if you are on the practice squad, unless the numbers have changed substantially, you know, when I was covering the team, I know that was like $88,000. I'm sure it's well up over six figures now. I don't know if it's at 150, but the point is the league is seeing that there's just guys opting out because they can get this money that probably wouldn't have made the team anyway. So they're going, this is not working. The longer that this goes, players can start camp. They can read the room. They can see how many tight ends there are. They can see they're the fifth guy,
right.
And now they opt out, and then they have to be paid accordingly. So teams don't like that. So I actually think there's a case to be made on their side that this is a loophole that maybe wasn't expected.
It's something that they didn't anticipate, but at the same time, that's a tough sell to the public. And I guess what I mean is the idea that these multi-billion, like the Forbes list just came out, the Redskins or the Washington football team are worth $3.4 billion. They continue to fall in the rankings as other teams pass them. You can't throw seven or eight guys $150,000 for being a training camp body, you know, but I guess to not be an opt-out. I mean, it's one of those things that I understand. You don't love to pay $150,000 to somebody that's not going to work for you in general. And I fully get that in general, but it's one of those things where I just wish you'd kind of get along. I wish you'd just kind of pay that, you know, for somebody that's so they can come back in a better time and try to help you and build a career in football. Because you need those bodies as much as you need anybody else when you're trying to get together for practice and OTAs and the like. That's an integral part of this whole process. It's not going to be this year because this is the weirdest year of all time. But generally, those guys deserve something for basically killing themselves for months in, you know, being on the fringes of the league.
I'm going to read from a PFT story here. While players apparently would owe the money back to the teams if they fail to make the roster in 2021, which you would say, well, so what? Then they got to pay you back anyway. No team wants to have to chase a former player around next year in an effort to achieve $150,000 or $350,000. And you know, what happens if the guy doesn't pay you back? You know what I'm saying? Are you going to court with all these players? Are you going to fight for years to get your $150,000 back? If a guy just says no, then I guess you could be tied up in some kind of legal wrangling. $350,000 for the guys who are more accomplished, who have been around longer. But those guys have all the more reason. You know, if you've been in the league for several years and you're potentially going to be cut and you know that, then you have all the more reason to opt out. 350 is a nice living for the next year while not participating in football, while hanging out at the house with your family. The other concern that PFT points out via their sources is that there are agents right now, and this is according to the teams, but there are agents who are using the threat of an opt-out as leverage to get their clients a new deal. So they're basically saying, well, he just won't play this year if he doesn't get any money. And they're going, well, we can't give him a contract right now. And they're saying, okay, then he'll just opt out. I don't think that's surprising. But is it negotiating in bad faith? Is it unfair? I don't know, even know that I would say that. I think that's kind of the times that we're in right now. Like, I have that option. It's an opt-out. I cannot play, or I can play. If it's important to you and you really want me to play, then I'm using all the leverage that I have. But what the teams are saying is that that is a negotiation in bad faith, that you're taking advantage of this situation. I'd be curious, though, to get a couple thoughts on this. You can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson or at Funny Danny. You can call us at 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 is the number. Are you on the player or the team side of this particular conversation, where players are saying, it's my right to opt out, so if I want to use that as leverage to get a new deal, that's not bad faith. Or they're saying, well, I got to pay the money back next year anyway. So if I'm the 10th wide receiver on the roster going into camp, and I know I'm not going to make it, then I'll just take the 150 now and take advantage of the system, but I owe it back to you in a year if I don't make the roster anyway. 800-636-1067 is the number. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan. We're Grant and Danny. Welcome back. 800-636-1067 is the number. You're on the player's side, who can opt out and get their 150 or 350, depending on their experience level and credentials in the league, where they say, this was offered to me. But yet it's a loophole because a lot of guys that just aren't going to make the roster are taking that money and running with it. Now, they'll have to pay the teams a year from now if they don't make the teams then. I don't know if that's going to be easy to get all that money back or not. I'm not really sure. But the teams are saying, you're not negotiating in good faith when you're telling us you're risking not being on our team this year or opting out if you don't get a new contract, which is a second part of this. Danny, where would you weigh in if I know it's a tough binary with a lot of nuance here, but like the player or the team side of this part of the COVID relationship?
Player, and in the NFL especially so, because a deal that was negotiated in good faith becomes a bad deal for a team for a million reasons, and a player can just be cut. Because contracts aren't guaranteed, because, or the majority of them aren't anyway, the non-Kirk Cousins division or non, you know, quarterback superstar division, for the most part, if a guy does everything right, then just maybe his skill set erodes slightly or he gets hurt one too many times, teams can just cut a guy and that's that. So a player could ask, well, was that not negotiated in good faith? I signed a 5-year deal and you can get out of it after 3. What's good faith about that? Teams don't like when their medicine is turned against them. And the fact that roster sizes are so large and there's so much turnover, so much demand clamoring to get through the door for players to get into the NFL and the way that they have operated for so long basically creates this kind of environment. So when a player uses that tactic against them, I'm all for it. Until you want to start guaranteeing guys deals and maybe changing fundamentally how the sport is structured in terms of salary and the injuries and the like, these quote-unquote dirty tactics, I'm fine with players turning around and using them on the teams.
So when I first heard and read about this and first saw this story, thought, well, I'm on the team side, and I'm always on the player side. But that is a really bad look. Like, if I'm the 9th inside linebacker at training camp, and there's a guy like this every year who's going to get 7 preseason snaps and basically just be there during practice to run drills and to fill out the room, why wouldn't I just opt out and get my 150? But as I dug into it and saw that they had to pay that money back next year if they're not on the team, then to me it just seems like those guys are being able to borrow the money at a time where they're not comfortable playing. And I think that the opt-out is pivotal. I've also been very clear about this with any sport, baseball or otherwise, from the beginning. If you don't want to participate this year, you shouldn't have to at the expense of your career or at the expense of a team just being able to cut bait. Now, it's interesting to me. I'm a little bit surprised that it was negotiated that guys can make that kind of money even if they have no time in the NFL. Like, I could be a UDFA who was a long shot to begin with, and I can get that kind of money. I think that was a job really well done by the union to take care of me and look out for me in that regard. But as you've seen players come out and say, including one of the quotes I just read from a DB with the Patriots, there's things in every deal that you sign and pretty quickly realize, oh, this isn't working out that well for us. We made a mistake. The deal's the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You agreed to that, did you not? You didn't understand when you agreed to it this was going to happen, perhaps. So if they're going to be nice and play ball with you, fine. But how often are you nice and play ball with them when there's something they don't like about the CBA? I bet you tell them tough luck.
Yeah, like an unanticipated loophole is what this is. I don't know that owners thought it would go that way. I don't think they thought of it, to be frank. And that's unusual in this sort of thing because those guys are professional business people, whereas football players are professional football players. And it's not to insult their intelligence. It's to simply say that owners, that's what they do professionally, is they negotiate deals and they, you know, they browbeat local municipalities and city councils and governments, and they are deal makers. That is their business. That is their nature day in and day out, right? Players are football players, and they have a lot to do in that regard. They also have to do this in terms of taking care of themselves in labor negotiations. So it's almost rare that maybe, you know, the player's side would sort of see an angle that maybe the owners didn't in that regard. I think that's a big deal. I say good for the players on this one. In general, if we're talking about the principles of negotiation, yeah, it's probably not in the best of faith. It's not. It's something that in regular life or maybe a different sport, I would kind of frown on a little bit. But again, this is the NFL. This is the league where they cannot wait to consider you a salary cap casualty, just to cut your butt for any of a million reasons as they see fit, right? So despite entering into an agreement with you, they can't wait to pull the plug. Well, this is basically a bridge loan for another year for a lot of guys that probably will have to pay it back at some point. That is not just a gift into the, you know, into somebody's pocket. It's not some sort of hustle
that guys are doing. Yeah, let's talk about that part of it. If there was no payback, then even still, I genuinely, when I can, try to defer and be on the player side over the team side because of what you just said. Because the teams, the second they can, are going to look out for themselves and never look out for the player, right? So that's why I'm going to be on the player side almost every opportunity I get. I will say that I think the teams would have a little bit more of a case, and that their argument would hold a lot more water for me. It'd be a bounty paper towel instead of one of the cheapos, if you will. Because I believe that the payback on the back end kind of ruins their argument a little bit. Like, you're just giving this guy $150 for now to live off of for this year while he can't play, and he's got to give it back to you if he's not on your team next year. Doesn't that work directly against them acting like these players are basically stealing the money and just running and hiding? They got to come back. They got to give it to you again.
Yeah, it's just the cash on hand having access to it. What rich people know and what regular folks don't a lot of times is it's just better in the short term so you could do something with it to have the cash and then have to pay later versus not having it, if that makes any sense. I know that was very convoluted. So what you should do is if you have the chance to get some cash right now, that's why when you win the lottery, because that's what I plan on doing, you win the lottery, you take the lump cash payout instead of the little payments over the course of the years. You take the cash now because you could do something with it. The $150,000, presumably, that you're going to get, you put it in the bank or you put it in a savings account, you put it in a CD, a mutual fund, whatever, you earn a little interest off it. Then when you got to pay back the $150,000, hopefully you've made $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, maybe $20,000 over the course of the year if you had good luck. That's what you're doing. That's what you should be doing against your future earnings, right? That's the smart thing to do. Owners don't like having to give up cash on hand. That is like liquid gold to them. So yeah, you're worth $3.4 billion, but if you got to make payroll at the end of a month where you got no income coming in yet and you haven't received that big $6.5 billion payment or whatever the hell it is from the TV money, you're short. And that's hard to not have that kind of stuff in rotation. And they don't like that.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Early next hour, let's get to Juan Soto. What he'll mean is he comes back for the Nats. Remember, the Caps play their first game since COVID forced a break in their season months ago. Today in their round-robin tourney that gets underway against the Lightning, that game is just about 5 hours away. But in addition to the Capitals and Juan Soto, there's some breaking Washington football team news. Top of the hour, as soon as we return next, they are reportedly agreeing to terms with a wide receiver, a veteran, who may well make their roster. We'll tell you who, and we'll break it all down.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.